Meeting. I note it's 1 minute past four. So I'll declare the meeting opened for Tuesday, the 8th of December 2020. I'll just ask that we bow our heads for the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I'd also like to acknowledge the Wangal people who are our traditional custodians of this land, and I would like to pay respect to their elders, both past and present, of the Wangal nation, and extend this council's respect to other Aboriginals present. I'll also make mention that our meetings are being recorded and videotaped as they are being held electronically, and that these recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009 and are promptly made available for public review via the Council website. I note we only have one apology and leave of absence at this stage because I can't see Councillor Del Duca, unless he's there. Has he signed in yet?
Move that no. His apology be accepted.
So it's been moved by Councillor Ferno-Cook, seconded by Councillor Dixit. Any speakers against? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Declarations of interest by councillors. So Councillor Crichton.
Thank you. I do have one, Mr. Mayor. Item 120/20, the Board 150 Year Steering Committee. I wish to declare a less than significant non-pecuniary conflict of interest, as one of the nominees is an active member on two council advisory committees, which I chair. And further, I believe an applicant who has not been shortlisted is a personal friend. Thank you.
Okay. Any other declarations of interest? There being no further declarations of interest, I will ask that we move to any declarations of political donations. I don't believe there's any planning matters before the council, so I don't think we will need to record our planning decisions. But we'll keep that open, subject to the agenda. Recommendation of minutes of the council meeting held on the 24th of November 2020. It's been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Ferno-Cook. Speakers for, against, any questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. There's three speakers that wish to speak on an item relating to the heritage, preliminary heritage investigation for 17 Ethel Street build, which is 119/20. I might just invite those speakers at this stage. I can't see those speakers yet, so we might just, are they, they're in there? Okay, so it's the owner of 17 Ethel Street, is it Tai Chu, is it?
Yes, Councillor, it's Tu Quin Koo.
And there's Will Chu and then there's Harvey Trong. Can I just ask Will, because there's three speakers speaking on the same matter, we're going to lodge the three objections against. You guys, are you as owners or co-owners happy for one to speak on behalf of the three, or do all three of you wish to speak individually? Well,
Councillor, we all came with different points and different...
I can't hear you. Hang on, I'm just going to get you to hold there. We're going to try to raise the volume. I'll just remind councillors to keep their microphones off just so we don't get relay.
Yeah, are you able to hear me now?
Just repeat that, please, Will.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes. Yeah. So are you happy to speak on behalf of all three, or do all three of you wish to speak individually?
We wish to speak individually, as we all came with different points that we want to get across.
Okay. All right, Will. I mean, you've got 3 minutes, so I might get you to start.
Start now. Thank you, councillors. I wish to speak regarding the property number 17 Ethel Street against the current proposed recommendation. I just want to address that first in terms of the exterior of the property. This property has been altered on both its front facade and the back in the past, and is already no longer in its original design. Demolition, construction, renovation, and addition works has all been carried out multiple times previously, with different styles being introduced inside and outside to the property. Additionally, the interior is not in a good condition. The images used for the report was used from the real estate listing website, which they were done to attract potential buyer and sell the property. So it cannot be used for a full detailed view and assessment of the interior quality of the property. The owner could not let the assessor inside the home because the house was only recently purchased. And because the owner being away in overseas due to COVID this year, and they have yet to enter the house, for us, it's not culturally sensitive to allow strangers into the home before the owner. Secondly, I just want to address that some of the arguments for the property will state that the recommendation is the property might have a possible association with architect Edward Jefferson Jackson, which is an opinion and it cannot be proven as stated in the report. Furthermore, the report states that the property is not clear in any particular style. This is due to the various work that have been done to the property as I've addressed earlier. The report also states the property does not possess any uncommon, rare, or endangered aspects of the local area's cultural or natural history. Thirdly, I just want to note that the report does state that the property is flanked by modern houses on the street. So that brings in questions of the interpretation of the streetscape of Ethel Street. Lastly, I just want to address that the property has changed hands at least four times since 1996. And has never been subjected to any assessment. The current owner had just recently bought the house and the assessment order was brought upon by a community member who potentially feared the new owner would build apartments or split up the land to build duplexes, which could affect their property. So we do feel like which the current owner does not intend to do, but we feel like the potential intent of the community member seems a bit unfair to the new owner. So that's all the point I have for today. Thank you for your time and allowing me the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Will. I might ask, is it Ty?
Two,
are you there?
Yes.
You can speak now, please. You have 3 minutes.
Can I let my husband to speak first? Because I just want your summary up.
Is that Harvey? Is that Harvey? Okay, yes. Harvey could speak. Yep. Harvey Trong? Harvey?
Yep, that's me. Hi.
You have 3 minutes, please go. Move forward and...
All right. Lovely. Thank you, councillors. I would like to continue to the point that the subject site currently is not listed, as well as it is not located within the HCA area for as long as it has existed. So we think that our property is being considered for HA was maybe because someone is concerned that we might build a very modern landmark in a very reserved neighborhood. However, I would like to point that our family does value traditions and history as much. Back in Vietnam, for example, our house has been built not as a modern piece, but follow the 1,000 years old architectures of our great ancestors. We dedicated almost 5 years for the masterpiece, holding strong historical and cultural values, and all the purpose of preserving meaningful stories for our children and theirs. So I would like to begin this meeting by pointing out strongly that we respect the cultures and the traditions as well for our parents and the grandparents before us. The second point is that I believe the methodologies that being followed is there are some flaws within the follow through. As you say, as the report has said, we are following, the consultant is following the New South Wales Heritage Manual, Assessing Heritage Significance Guideline. Now, we believe that due to many limitations, all the steps as listed in the guideline were not followed accordingly. In particular, investigate the historical context of the item or study area. Investigate the community understanding of the item. Establish local historical themes and relate them to the state themes. And finally, investigate the fabric of the item. We believe that all these four steps have not been followed through due to many limitations. It lacks a lot of persuasive evidences, but because the consultant make the conclusion based on mere images and tour videos. Now, from our understandings, for example, if you were to observe the house wooden floor, one needs to take an extremely detailed examination of the surface to find its patterns, its cracks, and even take a bit of the wood as a sample to correctly determine its age and type. Now, none of this were performed prior to the report. To conclude a house as a heritage using only images and videos taken by realtors, not even heritage specialists, and concluding it as sufficient for the purposes of the report, it is a flaw from the very beginning of this investigation. Now, as the consultant report, there are no original actual photos or blueprints of the house in the past, no official documents to accurately report how many times the house renovated. We just know it looks different from time to time. Now, should the house hold any significant values to the communities, there should have been at least one photo of it back in the days.
Okay, Harvey, now, given that, I'm just going to get you to finish up now. So just finalize your comments, please.
Based on the above, we think that it's really understandable we cannot accept the recommendation of the consultants, and we request to have another thorough and supportive report from external authorized parties appointed by either us or the council. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Harvey. And Ty? Ty, is it?
Yes.
Yes, it's your turn.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Quinn and I'm the owner of 17 Ito Street, Bogut. Thanks for inviting me to this meeting. I have read the report thoroughly. However, I'm so sorry to say that I'm still not happy with these recommendations of my new house being subjected to the heritage listing and this matter as a whole. I have bought heritage properties before in Summerhill and Aberford and was happy with my purchases. But for this house, I have had to bid competitively against a developer who believes he can build triple houses in the land. So what does it mean? Firstly, the house has been there for such a long time without any significant notice from the public, even for experienced developers, that it might be a heritage item. It questioned the conclusion of the consultant about the aesthetic significance and even the historic significance of the house. Have none of the previous community members or counselors acknowledged of its beauty and existence as a historic item? Thus, I believe the word significance here is needed to be reviewed. Especially those two significant criteria are the only two main criteria the consultants based on. Secondly, if it was a heritage before the auctions, will I need to bid against the developer who seemed to be my only competitive bidder at the auctions? Third, the timing of this heritage listing process, is this an unfair practice to me as the bidder? Therefore, I kindly request a confirmation or letter to verify if the community member who recommend of this heritage investigation has no personal motivations, benefit, or interest in my house being listed as a heritage item after the auctions. No name needs to be disclosed, but I would like to know if his or her recommendations is merely for public interest. This are all I want to share today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ty. Thank you. just quickly, you just made some quick points. The matter was raised when it was being advertised. It was taken on notice prior to it going to auction. So we council did receive from memory an email asking about the property and whether it was a heritage listed item. Council then assessed and came to the conclusion that there should be a further investigation because of the significance of the property and whether it does have merits. That's why council then commissioned a heritage consultant to do the review. So there was no The letter that was received by council, I don't believe we can disclose, but I think you can do a freedom of information request. But from memory, it was not of a personal agenda nature. It was actually just about the historical characters of the house. So that's just to answer your question. Okay, we might move on. So they're the three speakers we have. We will be discussing that as the second item. So you are free to stay and watch the council meeting to hear the council resolution on that. The first item really is the Mayor's Christmas Donation Initiative. This year as, and I won't read through it all, but this year as councillors are aware, we won't be holding a Mayor's Christmas event. We may be looking at doing something at Easter, but at this stage we decided to use some of the funding that usually goes towards that event to support a number of local charities. From what I believe, our community, Brooke and our community services staff did a ring around to local charities to see who's operating over the Christmas break and the type of services that they are offering. They then came to the conclusion to pick and made a recommendation for the five listed and to split those as a donation of $2,000 each. Each of those charities are offering different type of services over the Christmas period, as well as also adding community welfare services to support their the Rotary's Christmas present appeal, or it's called the our tree appeal, which is down in the actual foyer of the library, which people can also support that. So it's about receiving gifts and also making some financial contribution. Is there any questions with regards to that Merrill minute? So I'll just put the minute. So all those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. There's a COVID-19 progress report, which has a recommendation that we note the report and that we receive further reports in April. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Ferno Cook. Did you have a question?
I just had a question and a comment too, through you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question. I know that in March, Job Keeper will expire. And what does staff believe will be the repercussions on that, particularly for our businesses along Burwood Road, and what will our council response be? That's the question. And the comment is to thank staff for the leadership that they've shown through this difficult period.
Thanks, Councillor Fanagle.
Well, thank you, Councillor, for the question. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I might just ask that question of our director.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's very difficult at this stage to understand the direct impacts to the local community. However, in relation to our local businesses, we are working very actively right now. We've built very close relationships, probably stronger relationships than what we've ever had over the period of time. So that's been a positive aspect. We've been out on Burwood Road, for instance, promoting the Shopfront Improvement Program, understanding what the impacts are to our local businesses. In terms of what we're seeking to do right now is we want to set up an ongoing support for local business. And what we're doing is working with Service New South Wales, which is noted in the report, to set up either a weekly or fortnightly drop-in service where our local businesses can come and get that one-on-one support in a very effective way around their specific needs. So that's something that we're working on right now and seeking to put in place first thing when we reopen in the new year. But we will do that with Service New South Wales, with state government support, as well as council, so we can provide that direct, very tailored support. In terms of the employment impacts, it's very difficult at this point to understand what that will be. However, we will continue to work with those local organisations in order to really sort of monitor that. One of the things that we're yet to do is reach out to our local employment service providers. We have a lot based in and around the Burwood Town Centre, so that would be the next step for us to understand if there's things that council can do, such as providing space for those services to provide outreach through our library and community hub as a next step. So as we progress, we are supporting the local businesses, but in terms of addressing the employment impacts, that's something we'd have to come back to you on in the next report with further details. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Brooke, for that detailed response. And did you have any further questions, Councillor? Councillor Dixit, you had a question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. If you go to page number 13 in the financial implications, the numbers are mentioned, for example, 3,000 or 325,000 with respect to tenanted properties relief. So if with respect to all the four data which is mentioned, through you, may I request you to get what is the actual, or how many numbers have been benefited from it in terms of number, like
for the rental relief?
Yes, for the rental relief or for the health inspection or for licensing fees or residential rates, how many number have they been, they are being benefited? And the second is, what is the average relief with respect to each one of them?
Okay, I might just hand over to Fab.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll have to take that one on notice. I don't have the information on hand, but we'll collect it and get back to you, Councillor.
All good. And then if you go to page number 14.
14?
Oh, yeah, the same. You know, the total consolidated amount, I don't know, it's amounting to 1.1 million, which is referred in paragraph 2. Right. So does it include all these four items plus 160,000 mentioned here, or so may I have the breakup of this to the same? Yeah.
Fab?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, it does. It includes all those four items in the.
But it goes more than that. So if you take, so if I can get the breakup.
I don't think so. I think if you work out 325 plus 180 is 500, 440 plus 90 is close to a million, and then 160, it's close to 1.1. It's maybe 60,000 more.
Yeah, and no. Because here it is mentioned in the paragraph on page 13.
It says over, amounting to over 1.1 million.
Yeah, true.
Those four items plus the 160 is a million, yes. 160.
So that would go around more than that. Anyway.
Well, that's what it refers to. It says more, amounting to over 1.1 million.
Mm. All right.
I believe so. But if there's anything they'll give that to you.
Yeah, there are some additional costs due to the Burwood Cares program. We can go into more detail.
Did you want to add something quickly, Brooke?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the only thing I'd note is that the Burwood Cares program is also in addition to that. So the report notes that we've funded that through existing budget. So we've tapped into it where it connects to our existing community services budget, for example. So the 1.1 is over 1.1 as a basis. Yeah.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay, that's all right. So that was moved by Councillor Crichton, I believe, and seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook. Any speakers for? Councillor Furneaux-Cook. Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just quickly, I just wish to acknowledge it has been a really difficult year for many amongst us, and I really would like to personally thank the staff who have been actively involved in our Burwood Cares program. It's been a wonderful outreach to the vulnerable members of our community. And also just I applaud you also on your mayoral minute today, also through your Christmas givings. I think that the groups who have been really active out in our community this year have shown great leadership, and I also acknowledge the volunteers who have supported those organisations, and I know that money will be really well used and very much needed at this time. And it's really so many of our volunteer groups who have brought the human touch to our streets of Burwood during COVID-19, and I thank them for the love and care that they've given to many people people in our community, some of whom are experiencing great personal hardship for the very first time. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Crichton. Councillor Fennell-Cook, did you wish to add anything? Do I have any speakers against? There being no speakers against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. The next item is item 119/20, which is the finding of the preliminary heritage investigation, 17 Ethel Street, Burwood. Do I have a mover or a seconder? It's been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Fernow-Cook. Do I have any questions before we go into speaking?
I just have a question through you. Just to the staff, if they're
I might just get you to speak a bit closer into that mic, Councillor, just so make sure everyone hears you.
Owners were questioning the credentials of the authors and also whether they had met the relevant criteria. I just wanted to have a staff response on that. Thank you.
Okay, I might just hand over to Dylan, the director, Dylan Porter.
Thank you for that question. Certainly we went to an external consultant on this one, CityPlan. They're very well known to council and they are an identified heritage consultant with the appropriate credentials to undertake this work, and they've carried out that work in relation to the New South Wales guidelines for heritage listing as well. So I've certainly got confidence in the report and the investigation that's been delivered to us, and comfortable moving forward with the recommendations that it makes.
Okay. Councillor Chan, did you say you had a question?
My question is, based on what the owners were saying, I'm just wondering, has the owner been given opportunity, just trying to confirm that, opportunity to engage their own consultant to write a report on this particular issue to counter our council's recommended heritage advisors' advice or not? And the second one is, would it be possible in future for us to maybe do a site visit of the site, as they were complaining that maybe the streetscape and all that might not be relevant? After all, there are modern buildings being built adjoining that particular property.
So, first question, Dylan, and can I add to that, that you possibly, what's the process going forward now? So if council was to endorse this, it then goes into a formal planning proposal, which technically doesn't mean it's been approved tonight, just means now we go through the proposal, which allows the landowners or the new owners of the property to then submit, put their own reports in and have that discussion.
Thank you, Mayor. That's absolutely correct. So we do need to go through and prepare a formal planning proposal based on the heritage report we've received today. That will be lodged with state government for formal gateway approval, and then that will include a public exhibition period. And I think that would be time for their current owners to prepare any competing or contrary advice that they might want to provide, and then that would be considered as part of that final determination of the matter. So I think you're absolutely right, Mr. Mayor, this isn't the close of the matter today, and there is further opportunity for more detailed information to be provided as well. In relation to the matter of the site visit, to confirm, the consultants did attend on site and they visited the property and viewed it from a number of external public vantage points. A formal request was put through the, I think previously the real estate agent and then the current owner's purchasing agents to do that internal inspection, and we declined access to the internals of the building.
And now my question, any other councillors have questions at this stage? My question is, obviously new purchasers have bought the property in between the time that council's looking at listing it as a heritage item, so they probably feel a bit disadvantaged. Can you just give us a quick overview of the types of heritage items you could have? So some are locally listed, which is I think what's being proposed here. Some might be state significant, which obviously involve a lot more detail, like you can't even externally paint the property without getting state government department house. So the local proposal that we're proposing here, does it mean that they can't do internal changes to the property. They can't do, they can do external additions to the rear. It just pretty much means protecting that sort of front facade. Am I correct? Which is what looks like it is the significant part that dates back to 1888, I think.
Yeah, look, that's right. And I think the level of listing relates to the nature of this significance. In this instance, it is a locally significant building. Mm-hmm. If it was of statewide or regional significance, there would be the state listing. And then obviously above that, you have matters of national
that's
significance.
That's not what we are proposing here, is that?
No, we are looking at a locally significant item. That doesn't change, I guess, the level of rigour or investigation you might undertake in terms of the background work, that you still have to follow similar investigative protocols. And certainly the report as well acknowledges that there are non-original additions to the building and does acknowledge as well that there might be opportunity for sympathetic alterations or additions to the building, but that would be subject to a further application through
council. Obviously, so it's still going to be assessed by a DA assessment. You still need to have a heritage consultant to provide comment on any future plans, but it doesn't stop an external, a re-addition or even internal renovations to the property. In most cases, local heritage items, if you're doing cosmetic changes to like the kitchen or even painting or retiling, don't even need approval. They usually go through under complying anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And we'd be looking for some of those matters to be, dealt with through a broader heritage conservation management plan for the site that might include removing non-original, non-sympathetic additions to the building, which are our number, and replacing it with something that's more sympathetic to the original character of the building.
So the local heritage listing, my question is to protect pretty much the external part of the item, especially that front part, which looks quite significant and dates back to 1888. So it's obviously not demolished and rebuilt with, say, a modern home or something else. Now, the residents or the new owners asked the question that there's modern homes being built next door to this home. When we are undertaking a heritage assessment, does that usually come into perspective? Because a local heritage item is different to a proposed conservation area, for example, where you've got a continuous streetscape. So they're sort of two separate. Did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, look, that's right. I think you've alluded to that. The fact that, you know, if there were a number of properties of a similar age, heritage and style, then that might be grounds to establish a heritage conservation area. In this instance, we are looking at that individual property and it's kind of reflecting the early character of Burwood being that sort of country home, country estate type of building and the overall age of that individual building, not really taking into account those surrounding buildings. Just to emphasise as well, in terms of the internal character of the building, there are a number of items there. There's a grand staircase, there's some stained glass windows and things like that, which are part of the original fabric of the building. So those are the types of items that would also be protected in addition to the sort of front facade of the building as well.
So, I mean, subject to obviously a heritage assessment, things like your bathroom tiles or renovating your bathrooms, your kitchens, possibly even treatment of your floors, colours that you paint your walls internally, chandeliers that you wish to hang, they're not restricted in this item as they would in a normal home. Am I right? Subject to a heritage assessment.
If they're non-original items. Yeah.
But like your stained glass windows, which have been identified, or your staircase, those things then obviously would be protected, as well as possibly the facade of what they reported. So now going forward, if council endorses this, it doesn't mean that the item's heritage protected, but it's protected from being demolished. Is that correct? Because there's an interim order?
No, look, in this instance, we did consider an interim heritage protection order. And I think given that there's no pending threats of the building being harmed or damaged or demolished, we're not able to apply for that. If we did feel there was a genuine threat against the building, we would certainly pursue that route. But I think given the feedback we've had from the owner at the moment, they've acknowledged, I guess, the historical significance of the building. They're located overseas, not able to physically get back. In this instance, we're not able or feel it's appropriate to take that particular course of action.
And does council have a support network for residents? Like, I mean, these residents have obviously, these prospective residents have bought this property and might want to actually come here and live here and move from overseas. And they obviously want to modernise the house inside or do works inside. Do we have like pre-DA or some type of support level where they can come and, you know, obviously come in with their consultants, speak to our planners or our heritage consultant to sort of get some guidance on the changes that they could make to make the house suitable or livable to their standards?
Look, absolutely. We have a heritage officer on staff, and that person's available along with myself and the planning team to offer that pre-DA support.
Okay. All right. Is there any other questions? Did you have a question, Councillor Dixon?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the points which the owner has made, I mean, the evidences are there that it is not very thoroughly investigated, and the scale of property which they have invested in. The question is, when it is evident, so as a council responsibility, what is the other mode we can possibly take so that the owner is at least clear that we are that we have no other motivation except, you know, the interest of the area?
So specifically, what's the question? So what is like there? Is example, there an alternative?
Like for example,
course of action. Is that what you're
asking? If you go to the timeline from 1888 till today, it is true that it has been changed multiple times. Even the word Lansdowne was not there, for example. Right. I know Lansdowne is in India. If you do not know that, it has come from Scotland. So, but what I'm trying to say that we all have a good interest of the community, looking to the heritage perspective. But an owner who have come and invested a huge amount for their own purpose, for their own family tradition, as the owner is him, themselves are saying that they'll appreciate and the value system, tradition, and so on and so forth. So, in other words, they are saying that they believe that this, in other words, they would be able to protect the area. For that's why they have invested such big amount of money. But there is an element why there's an iota comes to their mind that there is some other motivation is there, and why we should be put on disadvantage for nothing. So how to get, and the evidences, if you go through the report.
So the question is, what's the motivation for listing the item?
Yeah.
Proposing this. So it's not being listed, it's just going through a process. It's still got to go to a local planning panel to get their consent. Mm. If that then happens, then council goes into a process of formulating what we call a planning proposal to then list the item. Mm. That then becomes a full proposal, which technically means it has to then come back to council. It then needs to go back to the state government to get a gateway. It then comes back to a council. It goes on consultation. The owners are then much more involved in that part of, I guess, the planning proposal and the studies, and then obviously get a lot more say in commenting on how they feel. But Dylan, I think, only got on board after the council endorsed to have a investigation. And I believe from memory, the investigation was when the item first came for sale. So it wasn't after it was sold. It was actually pre it being sold. I believe from memory, the council received an email from a local who has on numerous occasions written to council about other possible heritage items. Council then obviously picked up on this item to the surprise of, I think, many of the councillors and staff at the time, was that this item, it was always viewed or assumed that it was a heritage item. So when we were advised that it's not, we were a bit shocked. So that's why council said, well, we should investigate that. I believe at the time we may have, and I'm not sure, I'd need to clarify this, we may have notified the selling agent in writing that council is investigating. I think that was part of the proposal when we were listing, when we were investigating whether the item should be listed. I think as soon as we made that decision at council, I'm not sure, I could double check. And if the owners are listening, we can have them email me and I can confirm. I think we may have written to the agent at the time advising them that council is going to investigate the item. From memory, and don't quote me on this, so I could be wrong from timelines because there's 200 timelines in my mind, as every other councillor and staff member here. So, but we can check that out. In saying that, so there's no motivation. There was no after bidder that came to council after it was sold. So it was prior to the auction from memory. Do you remember that, Councillor Fennell-Cook? So it was prior. Now, the property, I mean, if you look at its character, is quite significant. And there's an argument that, well, there's modern homes in the street, but there's a number of other heritage items in that same street. There's one across the road. Is it a conservation area? No, the street character is changing, but there's a mix of housing. And I know it's unfortunate for the prospective new owners, but council assesses the item based on the item itself. So,
through you, Mr.
Does, yes, sorry, Councillor.
Sorry. Through you, Mr. Mayor, the point is well taken that it's an area for conservation. No doubt the rest of the areas I've visited.
No, it's not an area, it's the item. I'm just trying to say it's
as
not
such,
the area.
I'm saying in the larger context. But the question is how can the council possibly, if there are any alternative or through you, mm-hmm. so that we can possibly address the concerns of the resident, that the concerns of the residents are well taken before we proceed. You know, yep. We all have good intentions. That's my only Dylan, question.
Did you want to comment on that?
Before we proceed on this item, yeah, that's sure. My concern.
Look, I think to respond to that, Councillor Tizik, the owners at the moment obviously have opportunity to provide written representations to council on the matter. And I think in response to this report, now they've had opportunity to see it, and we'll take that into account as part of the formulation of the planning proposal. And then they'll have further opportunity to make representations regarding the listing of the property when the matter is formally exhibited through the gateway process through state government as well. So I think please be feel rest assured it's not the closing of the matter here today. There'll be ongoing dialogue and opportunity to make formal representations through the process as well.
But in saying that, taking this step is also a serious step.
Yes,
because now
right.
We're formulating a proposal to pretty much put in law the item as a heritage item. So it's going to go through the process now. But what we're saying is let's begin that process. So there's two arguments, really. There's two arguments. One is whether council and a councillor believes in the recommendation that it should proceed or no. There's no in-betweens. I wish there was, because then we could satisfy the needs of all our residents. But in saying that, this council has, and this area is quite renowned for its heritage-listed homes. If you actually look at the prices of homes that are sold in this area, you'll find that on average, heritage homes are selling for a lot higher than your modern homes. And one of the reasons for that is because residents that are coming to this area like the fact that they still have homes. This one dates back to 1888. I think my one dates back to circa 1880. You spoke about the name. Mine's got a Lanath, which has got a Scottish name as well. So there must have been some type of Scottish settlement in the area early on. In saying that, I don't think there's any in between, councillor. So we can't sort of half proceed to the next stage. But I think Mr. Porter was suggesting that as part of the planning proposal, the residents then obviously have the opportunity, or the new owners have the opportunity to make further submissions and comments and possibly get a heritage consultant themselves to address it at that stage. It could then fall over. So I'm not saying that it can't, but it usually, in most cases, council proceeds with some minor changes. I think one of the things that scares residents, if I can just make this comment also, scares residents or possible people of items when they're buying a heritage item is they think that they can't upkeep the property, or they can't repaint the property, or they can't redo the bathrooms, or they can't do a second a rear addition, or even a second story addition. There's a house in the Appian Way, which is a significant, I think it's a state listed conservation area. And if you drive through the Appian Way, which is just down the road from Ethel Street, the trees in that street are actually heritage listed and numbered. So that's how significant the street and the conservation areas. So there's a house recently, I think in the last couple of years, had a two-story addition and rear extension to the rear with a basement car park. So it's just addressing the streetscape and the character of maintaining that house. So the driveway was obviously increased, so it doesn't look like from the street there is a basement car park. But you turn in and around, and you can then they've got a basement car park with a second story addition at the back of that house. You can't see it from the street, but it still meets the needs of those residents. This is quite a large block. It could mean that you could have that type of extension subject to a heritage assessment, of course. So it doesn't mean you can't rebuild these homes. It just means you can protect the most part of that that front part of that property. You had a question, Councillor Chen.
My quick question is related to financial implications, right? If let's say the property is being listed for whatever level, local or state or whatever, then obviously the owners cannot change the facade. But I'm just thinking about the floor space ratio, right? If the property is being listed as heritage item, the floor space ratio of this property could be restricted in future development. I'm just wondering, can this property's floor space ratio be transferred
to someone else? It won't be restricted in this case. From experience and history, it won't. Because it's a home, usually if you've got a heritage item, which is a development site, which the floor space exceeds the actual land size. So for example, I think this property is over 1,000 square meters, 1,700. So for example, you'll never get a house. It's the current floor space ratio is 0.55, I believe, or 0.53 on this property. You're not going to get a house, which technically means you can build a 600 or 500 square meter house subject to our assessment. So you'll never reach the floor space ratio anyway for a house. It usually, transferable FSR usually happens on development sites for multi-level unit properties. And the second point you made is with regards to the financial implications. While there could be a financial implication for the prospective new owner, council can't comment on that because that's not part of our assessment. Councillor, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to state that I do have some sympathy for the new owners. It's unfortunate that this potential listing is, you know, timed in this way. It would have been good if it had happened earlier, but that's not the set of cards we're dealing with here tonight. But also, I'd just like to know if the listing to endorse is proposed, would the owners have any legal recourse back to council? No.
Dylan, did you want to make a comment? I don't believe so, no.
No, look, through you, Mayor, we're fulfilling our, I guess, statutory powers under the Act, so there's no direct legal recourse against council for making the decision to list the property, and that's kind of further vetted and checked by state government as well.
From experience, I strongly believe and know that there's no legal recourse against the council, because council can list an item at any time in its life cycle. So whether it's being sold, bought or whatever, there may be legal recourse against the agent or the previous owners if they were aware and did not disclose it. I believe, I'm not sure. People would obviously have to get their own legal opinion. But even that could be disputed, I guess. But we might just do a check to see when it was first.
Just a follow-up question.
You wanted to add something. Sorry. There,
sorry.
Maybe just to ask, in the section where we talk about the consultation, the initial correspondence was sent to the then property owner as part of the sale and the real estate agent then. So
do we have a date on that? Sorry.
No, look, I'm sorry. I don't have an exact date for that, but I would imagine that would be around September possibly late September, just knowing the sort of series of events from that original motion. So the previous property owner was notified and their real estate agent was notified as well.
And do we know when it was sold? By any chance? No?
No, look, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I mean, you had another question, Councillor Crane.
Just a quick question. I note that we've already expended $5,700 on this. Do you envisage any further expense in progressing this application?
Dylan, did you want to add to that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I don't think so at this stage. It essentially is council officers' time to prepare the planning proposal and submit that for consideration. If anything came up through any sort of competing information or anything provided by the current owner, we might take a view that we need to have that either reviewed or further peer review work done. But at this stage, not expecting any significant budget expenditure.
And I'm sorry, I should have looked at this. I know City Plan did the heritage investigation, but who was the actual author or the consultant that worked on the plan? Do we know? It's okay if you can't.
If I can respond to that, Mr. Mayor, it was completed by City Plan and Shamara Allen, who's a heritage consultant with City Plan, and that was sort of, I guess, further endorsed and signed off by.
But I think City Plan has done Davis, other.
Who's a director?
I think heritage. City Plan has done other heritage assessments for the council.
Okay. They do.
So that was that moved by Councillor Chan or Cryan? Chan and seconded by yourself. Now, was there any other questions? Now, Councillor Chan, did you wish to speak?
I'm sort of tossed between the new owner's expectation and interest to a certain extent because according to the owners, they are not totally aware of this new proposed listing by the council. They are not aware of that. I don't know if they have been informed by the real estate agents or the previous owners or whatever. So, and I'm here to represent, I guess, the interests of the residents, but I can also appreciate the fact that we are, this local area is renowned for his heritage items. And as the mayor has pointed out, that a lot of our properties in areas are heritage listed. And those properties, the value of those properties actually could be even be more than the more modernized properties in areas. So this is a very difficult situation, I guess.
Thank you, Councillor Fernow-Cook.
Okay, well, I'm speaking in favour of the motion because I'm taking the view of the heritage consultant. It's not my view. I endorse what the mayor said. We were very surprised that it wasn't listed in the beginning. Basically, there's been a red flag to say that the people who were going to bid wanted it to demolish it. So I think this is the opportunity that we have to take. I admire that the new owners respect the heritage and that they want to continue it with it. But if they sell, we're in the same situation as we were. We've decided to take the tack with heritage now that we will do it as it comes up. And we're going to meet this all the time. So that's what we've got. That's the dilemma that we will have all the time. We will not be able to get out of this conundrum. But we've got on our side that the owners are not wishing to demolish. But if they sell, we know that there are others that will, and we know up the street. This is 1888. It says that on page 102 that, that it is a high degree of historic and aesthetic significance with landmark qualities and should be maintained and conserved. Yet they can, on page 101, it says you can renovate. They can put additions, extensions, as the mayor said, in Appian Way, which is like the gold standard of heritage, where each place is heritage listed state, plus the conservation, it's like next level. People have done, put in, you know, basement parking, second story additions. We had the same in Duff Street. I know there is a fear factor. There is a fear factor, but I think that the worst thing could happen is that we do nothing and it does get demolished, because I can tell you most people thought that it was already listed. So I think it's a red flag. It's an opportunity. If there's a possibility that the residents, that the owner has said that they, with cultural protocols, but there are holes in it in the sense that they haven't had access. But we haven't had access. We can't control that. If that they say you can't have access, what do we do? And it's only the externals that are really of most significance. And it is a landmark building. It's one of the few Federation and Art styles at the, on page 83, it says that in spite of its architectural significance within the greater area, this provides further rarity and significance to the subject site within its existing context. I can't argue with that.
Any other councillors wish to speak?
May I foreshadow a motion?
Yeah, so you've moved the original motion. So you're foreshadowing a motion. So if this motion is lost, then we go to the foreshadowed motion. Yep. So what's the foreshadowed motion?
That the council delay the endorsement of the heritage listing of the property at 17 Evil Street, Burwood, and the preparation of the planning proposal pending on the response of the owner's heritage advisors report, and that council could give the owners maybe 4 weeks to engage the heritage advisors and report it back to the council.
Okay. So you're foreshadowing a motion if this motion is lost. Okay. So I'm not going to ask for a seconder. So there's a foreshadowed motion. I don't think we need a seconder unless this motion is lost. Yeah, okay. Well, if this is lost, then we'll put that foreshadowed motion. Do I have any other speakers? Any speakers against the motion? I'm going to be speaking in favour of the motion. Now, I have total sympathy and support for the new owners. Unfortunately, as part of my assessment in dealing with this item, I've got to look at the item itself. So I can't look at it financially. I can't look at it as who the owner is. I can't look at it if it's for sale or whether it was sold. The item, and if you read the city plan report, is warrants heritage listing. Is it the most significant item in Burwood? Probably not. But is it significant enough to be listed and protected? Then yes. I mean, you only need to walk past and see that house. I mean, I've admired that house many times when I've driven through and said, what a beautiful home in that street. I am quite annoyed that a couple of years ago, we actually undertook a heritage review and this wasn't even mentioned. So it now raises questions, what type of one review was taken up? And I saw items that were put to the council that council ended up taking off that were nowhere next to the caliber of this item. So I'm just sort of confused as to how that happened. And it's disappointing because we wouldn't be in the situation we're in today. In saying that, the item dates back to 1888. If I was voting on sympathy for a fellow purchaser of a property, then I would be voting with the new owners. But I can't look at that. I've got to look at, does this item deserve to be protected? Does this item need to be protected from, for example, if these residents in 5 years' time, or these new owners in 5 years' time wanted to sell this property, could it then mean that a developer buys the property and builds three duplex homes on there? Yes, it then means the item's lost. The item is significant because City Plan mentions a number of criteria that have been met there. And it's very hard to argue just from the exterior look at the property and the grounds that it shouldn't be an heritage listed item. And there shouldn't be a fear for these type of homes to be protected, because these type of homes actually add to the character of the area. And they add, and if you actually look at the record sale of prices in Burwood, they've all been these type of homes that were protected, not the new modern homes, not the homes that were built down the road that probably three times as big, new modern, brand new glass windows, you know, full-on automated or intercom garage doors, basements for 20 cars and everything. They're not selling for the same price as these homes. I think this home sold for over $5 million, which was a record. You go look at the number of modern homes that were sold in Burwood recently. They haven't achieved $5 million. So there's, from a financial perspective, and I say this in an unbiased fashion, and without, I guess, I'll put a, what do they call it, a disclosure, financial disclosure there, I think you'll find that these homes tend to do better because they add to the character of the area, because people love to live in these homes so close to a city like the Burwood Town Centre. So in saying that, I wouldn't be afraid for that reason. And I wouldn't be afraid because you can renovate your home. Like, for example, when I bought my own Victorian home, we've renovated inside, we ripped out the carpets, we've put some nice marble tiling inside, we've put floorboards upstairs, we've put new tessellated tiles, we repainted it. Council had no issue with that. But that didn't even need an application. The only reason council came and inspected at the time was because I think they received an anonymous complaint that I was doing something to the character of the house. When they actually came and visited with the heritage consultant, I think they were impressed that I was restoring it back to the old tessellated tiles and so forth. So in saying that, council doesn't have a real issue with that. Obviously, if you were going to rip out the timber windows that face Ethel Street and enclose the veranda with aluminium windows and so forth, of course council then is going to have an issue with this. But if you were to do internal renovations to suit your home, I've got... And the great thing about these homes is now is you can adapt them to anything. I've got outdoor garden lights that actually work off an app and a timer now. So it's not as if you can't put modern electricity or power. I've got intercoms, automated gates, garages. So you can do all that to these homes. And I think council has an obligation to, in the future, look at how we can provide better support for heritage advice for homeowners of heritage items, especially when they're wanting to renovate. It might mean that we do a couple of information booklets or just even a newsletter type flyer for people that own heritage homes, where we might mail it to them just to explain to them the type of works they can do, the type of support. We should be providing support to see how we can have some of the modernised uses for these items so they are protected in the future. And I think Councillor Fernow Cook raised a great example. There was a heritage home on the corner of Duff Street and Burwood Road. That's since been restored to a childcare centre and it looks fantastic. And it's got some modern additions there with modern glass that's been added to that and it works well. So while I do sympathise with the prospective new owners, I hope that they work with council to obviously work out what their plans are. If they're planning to live in the home, then council sits down and works with them to help them obviously make that a home that works for them, and they shouldn't be afraid that it is possibly going to be a heritage listed item, but they still have the opportunity to go to what we call a local planning panel who will make representation on this, as well as the New South Wales Planning Department, as well as the council again going through a planning proposal. So that's why I'm supporting the proposal. Any speakers against? Councillor, did you wish to write a reply or should we put it to a vote?
No.
Okay. Councillor Manor, I haven't seen, you're okay?
So I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Okay. So those in favour is Councillor Furneaux Cook, Councillor Crichton, Councillor Manner, and myself. And those against, because we've called for a division, just because it's a planning decision, possible planning. Those against are not yet, Councillor Chan and Councillor Dixon. Okay, so the motion's been carried. So now that the motion's been carried, there's no foreshadowed motion. Okay, and thanks to the residents for registering to speak, and hopefully, if obviously if they wish to speak further, I'm happy to make time, as is any councillor here, to sit and discuss some of these issues with them outside of a council meeting, as in the mayoral office with our staff. So if they would like to have a meeting, they're more than welcome to email either myself or any of the councillors with obviously staff present to discuss any other concerns they may have through this proposal. So I know Will is still on there. So if you can hear that, Will, you're more than free to email myself or any of the councillors. Next item is item 120/20, which is the Burwood 150-year steering committee, which is on page 121. Do I have a mover? It's been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Furneaux Cook. Oh, sorry. Yep, Councillor Furneaux Cook. I didn't see you there, Councillor Manner. So sorry, that was moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Furneaux Cook. I didn't see Councillor Manner was raising his hand. Any questions? Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. The next item is the revision to code or policies concerning soft landscaping requirements, item 121/20, which I don't believe is changing anything than what it is. But I think we're looking in the new DCP a possibility for people with disabilities or so forth to have, is that right, Dylan? That's my question.
Correct. So we'd be undertaking a review of the landscape provisions and more detailed landscape design code.
So do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor.
I have one question through you, Mr.
Are you moving first? Sorry, Councillor. Do you want to move it and then have a question? Or
no, I'll have a question.
So it's been moved by Councillor Chan. Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Furneaux Cook. Question, Councillor Dixon?
My question is, this dichotomy of, you know, comprehensive LEP and house, what do you call housekeeping LEP? Yes. And then consequence of that, it will have implication on what do you call your development control plan. Why is it this dichotomy is there? Because it is related to actually this. Because when we are getting piecemeal things one after the other, we'll have to be on tap on this, and perhaps we are not so trained in dealing with that. So my question is, if anybody can help me to understand this, and then I can ask the question. The
question is,
you know, this dichotomy of housekeeping LEP and
comprehensive
LEP, because these two terms are being used now, and consequently that it will have its implication on development control plan eventually. Like, for example, one piece we have taken, this one, it's a good work. I remember a motion came, but it will have an implication on the totality of the LEP. Now, to have an appreciation of the totality of the LEP at the same time and the development control plan also at the same time. So it becomes difficult for us to appreciate and analyze and, you know, comprehend what will be the eventual culmination into that. Because when we take the, you know, one or two or part, when we take things in part, not the whole, that is my question.
I might get Dylan to respond.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, an interesting question. I think the housekeeping LEP, you might recall, we reported on that, on the items that will be addressed through the housekeeping LEP last month. And it's a number of, I guess, discrete amendments that are there to tidy up anomalies or errors within the current LEP at the moment, and there's a larger amendment for the Livingston area. And I suppose those are smaller items that we feel we can deal with quite quickly, and also respond to some of the timeframes that have been put to us by the departments. There are bigger and ongoing issues that we'll be dealing with over a longer period of time. I think the programme is about a 18-month to two-year period, and we'll be reporting back to councillors and also working with councillors to, I guess, understand, identify and work through those issues across a number of topics, a number of themes as we move through that work. So I think to try and give you some comfort, we'll be coming back and consulting with you on a regular basis as we move through the comprehensive LEP amendments, and we'll be reporting those issues as we go. To give you that comprehensive understanding.
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, it's very good you as an individual, as an officer, to take an item and do your job for 24 hours, but for councillors to perceive in that way perhaps doesn't make a sense to me. For example, this landscaping issue, what will be having its implication in totality on the development control plan and the LEP?
Well, I don't know. Well, at the moment, nothing will change. So the reason this has come up now is actually not because of the staff. It's because I think Councillor Manor or myself, or Councillor Manor, I think, had a notice of motion, and I think I supported it at the time, was because there was a resident that had a disability and obviously needed a van to drive in and obviously be able to turn the wheelchair so they can get out, and they couldn't concrete a part of their driveway because then they don't meet the landscaping requirements, and they had all these doctors. So we asked for an investigation. The report has come back and said that council won't be changing anything with the current DCP. So nothing's changing at this stage, but they will possibly review in the upcoming housekeeping or comprehensive LEP some type of provision to allow some. But it hasn't happened yet. So
through you, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate it. I supported that motion, I remember very clearly. But my question is this again, that when these items are being taken as a piecemeal, and when the long-term implications are there, so we will not be able to appreciate. Therefore, my suggestion would be that we must have what will be its implication on the comprehensive LEP should also be a part of it. Analysis, which if anybody can help me to understand. That is my question. I'm supporting this motion. It's wonderful.
No, I know that. I'm just trying to answer that. Did you want to add any further comment? Or we might have this discussion maybe. Okay. Give Dylan a bit of time to think about that one, because he's only been on board for a few. Any other questions? So that was moved, I believe, by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Did you wish to speak? Any speakers against?
It's moved, as it is.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. The next item is 122, which is the adoption of the revised agency information guide, government information, public access, being moved by Councillor Ferno-Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there is attention I would like to draw.
Yes.
On page number 147, there is no version number, there is no date, even on the first page of the document.
Okay.
And every policy has to be a controlled document.
Did you want to add to that?
Noted, Councillor. We'll rectify that.
I think when they've been coming up onto our reports, they're not having versions, but when they're actually getting printed as public documents, they're adding the version and that on there. I think this is just because it's like a draft, but we should probably add that in there anyway. It doesn't technically become a version until we endorse it. So Tanya's saying correct, yeah. So as soon as we endorse it, the reason it doesn't have a version on there is because as soon as we endorse it, then I will actually put a version on it.
And what about date?
And the date. Well, technically it's not. You can't put a date on it until we endorse it. So you might just show a possible date. So the year 2020, and show the month and then just keep an XX for the day or the day of the council meeting. And you might just make that highlighted or something so you know that it's subject to change until the council endorsement.
Mr. Mayor, as far as I understand and I know, that it's an Australian standard, you cannot have a public document without version.
Well, it's not a public document until we endorse it.
Listen, my submission is, and if it is not, then we have to mention it's a draft. This is what the difference is. Then you have to mention it's a draft. That's a technical difference.
And I agree with you. Yes. So it should be mentioned that it's a draft, but yes. The heading says it's adoption of revised agency information. So it gives you that assumption, but it's probably not clear enough. So point taken. And that's for our governance people to deal with. Any other questions? Okay, do I have a mover? Is that moved by Councillor Manor and seconded by Councillor Bruno Cook? Any speakers for, against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Aye. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 123/20, which is Code of Conduct Complaint Statistics.
It's been moved by Councillor Bruno Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for, against, questions, put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. 124/20, which is tabling our first time returning to the sober event, which is some of the new directors, the new by Councillor Crichton. Seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for, questions, against, put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried also unanimously. The next item is IM 41/20, which is an information item, which is the draft overland flood studies. The items have no decisions required.
Could I just ask a question through you regarding just on the update of any success in the round of funding the study with the Cooks River flood study? Have we heard?
Sorry, Councillor, can you repeat the question?
It says March sent a letter of support to Canterbury Bankstown agreeing to participate in the Cooks River study. The grant funding application for the first phase of this study was completed and submitted on behalf of participating councils. A decision by the DPIE for the first stage of it has not been received at the time of the preparation of this report. Because it's going to cost us money, so are we going to get some from the government?
I'm not too sure when that grant closes. Do you know?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the grants through DPIE are usually granted around April every year. So I'm not across which cycle this was in, but if it wasn't granted last April, it'll be early in the new year that we'd be advised.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, please. Councillor? Mayor, could I just ask, just in the best interests of our residents who live in one of these areas, what's our next step in keeping them informed in this process and the timetable?
George, did you wish to?
Through you, Mr. Messer, we've contacted all the residents that have put in submissions, or the 25 odd, and verbally advised them that of this process. The intention is then, once we've got a decision from councils, the approach is that we will advise them again once the study's been updated.
Okay, so any other questions regarding items 42/20, 43/20, which is a safe and clean team performance report?
Yes.
Yes, Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, just with regards to item 43/20, the safe and team clean, I do think Bird is looking quite clean, very clean, but I'm just noticing a few pockets of graffiti on private property. Do members of our staff report that and get that process of cleaning up graffiti underway? In particular, I'm thinking about Railway Crescent and Escher Lane up near Burwood Road. That's one. And also, as part of the clean, safe and clean team, do they ever undertake detailed cleaning of our smart poles, where in the past posters with adhesive have been connected or stuck onto the posts? And sure, they've removed the actual poster, the actual adhesive and stuff is kind of left behind. So is there ever a big clean?
I'll defer that to our Director of City Assets.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll give clarification as to the deep clean of the smart poles and come back to you on that one. But in terms of cleaning private residential or private property, we generally don't clean private property unless it's at the request of that property owner, their consent.
One of the things I'm noticing on the safe and clean team is they're doing a lot of the rubbing, you know, the pedestrian signals and doing a bit of the bins and so forth. And I think I've raised this before. I think we need to look at some type of deodorizer that we can actually put into the bins for just hygiene and obviously smell, because some of them are letting off an odor. But there are some bins that I've seen recently. And one, I think, was north of Build Road, which looked like it hadn't been cleaned in a year. So which leads me to think that, and while I think that, you know, the safe and clean team that are out there are doing a hard job, maybe the focus is too much on the pedestrian wiping of that and not actually the cleaning of the bins, but or the cleaning of street furniture, like I've raised, I think, this with yourself, George, regarding maybe just repainting some of the pedestrian benches, sorry, the street benches that we have. But some of those bins and look like they haven't been cleaned for a year, which sort of gives you a bit of concern, because we're spending this money on keeping the town centre clean, and you're thinking, is it being put in the right place? I know they're starting to turn up now at Croydon. I think Raj will see that they turn up there. But there was one recently, I think it was Build North, where the bin honestly looked like it hadn't been cleaned in a year. Are they doing that Build North area? I don't know.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So we have received a few requests. So we are programming in a clean of all those bins prior to, well, in the next few weeks, prior to the Christmas peak season, and there will be deodorizers installed in those bins.
Oh, okay.
Along Burwood Road.
And I think it's really good now that you've got the cigarette butt attachment to it. You've got some bins now that have got the recycling next to it, which is good. And I know there was a view in the past of not putting too many bins on the strip, because obviously it means you have to go out and clean up more, or pick up more of the garbage bins. But I think that's a part of our wastage charge, isn't it, or not?
In terms of cleaning up the bins?
Yeah. The bins, like our street bins, do they come under our waste charge, or are they part of the rateable charge? They're like a rates, you know, there's two charges on your rates notice.
I couldn't answer.
Oh, sure, okay. That's one for Wayne. But Wayne will give you an answer that you won't get an answer. That's finance. Anyway, in saying that, so yeah, but I like the idea that we're seeing more bins out there, because I think if you provide more of those bin, then you'll find that people will put rubbish in the bin rather than just leave it on a walkway. Did you have a question, Councillor Dixon?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Is there any logbooks are being maintained for respective bins, for example, and how often do you do, like?
Through Mr. Mayor, not so much logbooks on individual bins, but there is a cleaning cycle that our operations staff follow. So they're cleaning Burwood Road and then through the parks, We've got a team that goes around and cleans the bins.
So then, through you, Mr. Mayor, then how do you do the auditing that things are going on, for example? How do you ensure it?
So the staff, as they're going around, will provide that information.
Yeah. How do you ensure that?
In to audit the staff?
Yeah, or the work which is going on, there has to be some mechanism which you undertake. Like, for example, if I say if you don't maintain logbook or for example.
Through instrument, so they are on a roster and they do have team leaders and managers that do keep an eye on their work performance.
Sometimes you'll get a bin that gets missed. I can't remember. Did I send that bin through or? I might have taken a photo. I'm not sure.
You mentioned, but in general, I provided the feedback on Build North.
Mm, okay. Also, items 45/20, which is the registered tributes to residents, and 46/20, which is answers to questions on notice. Any questions regarding any of those items? Yes?
It's actually in response to Councillor Fiona Cook's question that she asked. She may be interested to know, and I just came across this myself, that the Office of Local Government's been conducting a review into the Impounding Act. So your question there about the trailers, that could be covered there and that may be of interest to you. So they've had an issues paper. I think submissions have closed and they're looking at reviewing the legislation. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. I need a motion to go into confidential items.
Move that way.
So it's been moved by Councillor Fiona Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. The reason we're going into confidential item, there's actually two items. One is 125/20, and the other one is a Merrill Minute in relation to the General Manager's Performance Review. And the reason we're going into closed session before I put the motion is that the above items be considered in closed session to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with section 10A2C of the Local Government Act 1993 as the matters involve information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage on a person with whom the council is conducting or proposed to conduct business. Is there any objection? That we're going into closed session. Okay, there'd been no objection. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare they carried unanimously. I'm going to ask that we all keep our microphones off.
Sure. Okay, so there were two questions there. One was, what else can council do? I do think that council provides excellent assistance to the committee in the staff that come to the meetings and provide the reports and the information that we're asking for. I think the way that we operate and the way that council actually runs the internal audit structure is actually working very well, but it is difficult sometimes to find new areas that we would like to have reviewed. Because we need to just review a risk register. I would prefer to have also perhaps some suggestions from council on areas that they would like to have looked at on occasion. So that would be something I would suggest. The second question was in relation to a highlight for this year. I think that obviously COVID has had a huge impact to the year and the way that things had to operate. I did note this in my report that I applauded the Burwood Cares initiative and noted that we moved very smoothly into a virtual world for a period of time. I think the one thing that has come up out of that is just a need to have a look at workplace health and safety where people are actually having to work remotely. That would probably be about the only other area I'd consider, but otherwise, I think things went particularly smoothly this year and considering the circumstances we were all in, I was quite comfortable with how some of the things that were raised in previous years had been resolved during the year as well. And the org structure's been sorted out and things like that. So quite happy with the way things have been working.
All right, good. Thanks, Sandra. Is there any other questions? Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
Thanks. Sorry to get you back.
Oh, that's okay. No problem.
Okay, excellent. This is the opportunity. Are we recording again?
Is it on?
So just heading back to item 12520, opportunity to purchase the land for public recreation purposes. I'll just hand over to Fab to quickly read their recommendation and then I'll read out the mayoral minute. Resolution.
The resolution is that council proceed in accordance with the recommendations outlined in this confidential report to council dated 8 of December 2020 on the proposed acquisition of land for public recreation purposes.
Now, that confidential report, please, can everyone just throw that back to us? Because that's got, and it just might mean it might fall in the wrong hands. You might toss it in a waste bin. Someone picks it up. It's got valuation figures on there, that's all. It could just give a commercial advantage to somebody. Sorry, we should have watermarked that one, I think, better as a confidential item and handed it back as well. That's the meeting minutes. Oh. So in future, just Tanya, just what we've done is with items like this, because we're bidding on a property, we've actually watermarked it with the councillor's name and then they hand it in, it's recorded that they've handed it back. Just to make sure, yeah. Now the mayoral minute with regards to the general manager's performance review, the resolution was, the council note the mayoral minute and support the findings of the review panel on the general manager's performance for the 2019-20 review period and endorse the recommendation of the panel as follows. One, the review panel congratulates the general manager Tommaso on his individual performance for 19-20 and that the org also notes that the reputation of the council has been enhanced by the contributions he made. Two, that it be noted that the review panel has assessed the performance of the general manager as warranting a performance increase, but that Mr. Recessi, I still can't say his surname, has asked that no increase be granted this year to take into account the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on council operations and its financial position. So he won't be getting a salary increase this year, and he's requested that. And that three, that the priority projects outlined in the mayoral going to be adopted and included in the general manager's performance agreement for 2020 and 2021. So that's been adopted. I might just give that back to Patricia as well. Now, questions with our notice?
Yes. Thank Council. You, Mr. Mayor. They're up on the screen, but do I need to read them?
It's about school crossings. No, so they'll get an answer, so they're part of the record. Any other questions with our notice? No. You wish to ask that can be
I
put on the record?
I just ask a statement to wish all the staff and councillors a great Christmas break and thank you for all your hard work for the community.
Thanks, councillor. Thank you. Any other questions with our notice? There being no other questions with our notice, now just take the opportunity to wish my fellow councillors, also our community and our hardworking staff, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Please take care and be safe over the holiday period. I know we have a number of new faces that are here, and I hope you've enjoyed your short time so far with the council. And I hope you appreciate the diversity of our community. I know from my experience in dealings with the three of you, it's been quite easy. So you've actually fitted quite well into the organisation, and I think your experience today and some of the ideas you have really bode well with some of the things our council's trying to achieve. So well done, and thank you, and again a Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you also to Patricia for helping facilitate the GM's review and for Fab, who's currently filling in for Tommaso, and to also to our staff for being great minute takers in a hard situation. to our governance team. So thanks, Monique, once again, and Merry Christmas to you all. And I declare the meeting closed at 5:55 p.m. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm sorry I can't be there tonight.
Do you want to stop the recording?